Thank you, Philip. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Paul.
I appreciate you, Bonnie. It's been a few weeks, guys. You have no idea what it's like being in my household for the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, I was in the ER. After that, I found out my dad was rushed to the ER and spent a week in ICU because they were trying to fix one problem and they end up causing another one. And then when we get home, we find out that our rental property, the tenants flooded the basement. So it's been very, very stressful for our family the last 2 weeks. But I'm really glad to be here because I know that despite how stressful I am and how bad things seem to go for me, in the moment, it's temporary. God is good. He's got us taking care of us. And He's going to make sure that no matter what happens in this world, if we stay true, if we stay faithful to Him, we will be united with Him in glory, where there is no pain, there is no suffering, and I don't think the Bible promises this, but I assume there will be no stress. And that, I think, I'm looking forward to more than anything. Thank you, Willie. No matter what's going on in your lives, I want to remind you guys that He is faithful and He will take care of you. Let's go to Him in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank You for our blessings. We thank You for everything You do for us. Most importantly, Lord, we thank You for Your Son, through whom we find redemption. We thank You for the gift of life, this word that You've given to us. And as we study it right now, we ask You to open our hearts and minds to the message. Be with us as we continue our worship. In Your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. You know, Rachel has great DIY ambitions. Some time ago, she kind of started to watch The Property Brothers or HGTV, and she thinks, you know what, I can do that. More yet, that's not what she thought. She goes, you know what, John Paul can do that. And so I watched a little bit of it, and I thought, no, I don't think I can do it. But we made an attempt, and we had a pretty good attempt at remodeling some of our kitchen. And I had a lot of help with some people. And then so I got it into my head that maybe I can do this. And so one of the things I did was I joined the Fuller Center for Housing, which builds houses and they help repair projects on people who can't afford it. And Friday, I went and I helped to fix a bathroom. And I'm like, I'm going to do this. So I go there, and I spend a few hours there, and I got my hammer, and I'm ripping out drywall. And it's great. It's so easy and very cathartic that you just, one of you's ever taken a hammer to a wall and just yanked? Or any of you just felt like punching a wall? It feels really nice. And so I'm just ripping out this drywall, and I'm like, okay, I need to get to the higher part. I need a ladder. And so I put the ladder down the same place I was standing, and I step on the ladder, get to the second one, and the ladder sinks about 2 feet into the floor. Because the floor was not supported. And I'm like, nope. Don't want to do this anymore. I'm not ready to go back to the ER. And so I got to thinking, you know what? This is certainly a lot harder than it looks. I think that this is hard. What else is hard in our lives? Is our job hard? Is our family hard? It really just kind of depends on the situation. What about this question? Is it hard to be a Christian? How many people say yes? All right. About half a dozen hands, or a dozen hands. How many people say no? I like these answers. You think it's easy to be a Christian? Wow, I think you'll be a great Christian then. Mommy, you got a lot to teach them. I think sometimes is probably the right answer. Certainly, God doesn't really require a lot of us. He only requires three things of us. And really, those second two things are built on the first one. You got to have faith. It's the only thing that God really wants from us is to have faith from Him. Now, it's a little bit more involved than that. You have to acknowledge who you are as a Christian, and you have to repent of your sins and eventually be baptized. But those second two things are all dependent on your faith in who He is and what He does for you. But then again, it's also very, very difficult, because while He requires very little of us, He asks a lot of us. He asks us to do things like know who He is. That includes reading your Bible and finding out what kind of things He expects from you as a Christian. He asks you to go places you would never dream of going, like finding a woman and taking her halfway across the world to a people group she has never met before. To maybe going to Africa, or even going outside. I know some of you probably don't even like going outside. God asks you to do this. He says, be intimate with Him. Have an intimate relationship with Him. Because it's not enough to know who He is. It means that you care and have put thought and effort into that relationship. It means not having hate in your heart. And I think out of all of this, this is probably one of the more difficult ones. Because you cannot love God if you have hate. How can your faith be faith if it is built upon hate in your heart? But probably most importantly, He asked me to deny myself. To deny every fiber in my being and my nature and give it all up for Him. Is that hard?
Yes.
It is hard. Is it asking too much? I don't think so, but certainly we could easily say no, but our actions speak louder than words. The very first sermon I preached here as your preacher, not this one I tried out with, but the very first one I preached, I used this quote right here. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. Because it's really, really easy to say we're a Christian, but it's another thing to live by that Christian standard, to live in the way that God wants us to live, to deny ourselves, our human nature, and give it all up for Him. So many of us don't. And so we will go and we will say, I am a Christian, and we will do things like go to church, and that is the only time we will spend with God. And instead we will leave it all at that door, go on, walk out the door, and go on with our lifestyle. We will not change anything about who we are for Him, except that we believe in Him, and we are in His name. And frankly, is what He just demonstrated, that's not good enough. And frankly, that makes us a hypocrite. This is what Matthew chapter 23 is about. It is the harshest rebuke that Jesus has in all of the Gospels. Certainly, it tells of how much He does not tolerate those who go against God's Word. But here, it gets laid out in more than 33 verses to tell why Jesus does not like this group of people. Because He is saying, these people, regardless of who they are, preach, but they do not practice. That is the very definition of hypocrite. You are someone who wears a mask. And Jesus rebuked these people 7 times in this passage. 7 times He calls them hypocrites. But it doesn't end there. 5 times He calls them blind guides. Once He calls them a fool. And once He calls them a serpent and a brood of vipers. He holds nothing back for His contempt for this way of life. And I want to tell you, while this specifically is Him talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees or the religious leaders, it is so easy for a Christian to fall in these things that he is talking about. In fact, this should serve as a warning for all Christians to not engage in the practices that they do. To not pretend to be something they're not. Not to wear that mask, that Greek mask. That's where the word comes from. Hypocrite, those Greek actors who would wear a mask and pretend to be someone else. But instead, to deny themselves and follow him. So as we look at what Jesus has to say here, I want you guys to look what he says and think about the Christians you know in your life who are engaging in these practices and what it means for the future of this church. The first one is perhaps the harshest one. It's probably one that I don't know how many Christians engage in this particular practice, but it's certainly one that I've heard of and gives people a bad name, and that is they abuse their authority. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger. We are keepers of God's word. The Jews were the keepers and the representatives of the law. But instead of following the law, they would go to the people and say, "You must do this, you must do that. And if you do not do that, then you are going to go to hell. But I'm going to do absolutely nothing to help you out." Would you guys accept that from your leaders? Imagine one day that our government came to us and said, "We're going to build a great stone project. But we don't have enough stone. So every person, according to the month that they were born, is going to mine stone for a whole month. So in January, if you were born in January, you will mine for the whole month. And the next month, February." And some of you might say, "Well, wait a second. February only has 28 days. That's not really fair to us." Or even some of you say, "Well, what about you? Are you going to do that?" "No, I don't have to do that. I'm the leader." How long before you think that people would revolt in our own government? Probably not very long. But this actually happened in the Old Testament. When Solomon wanted to build the palace, when he wanted to build the temple, he made the Israelites, according to their tribe, work for a whole month to mine that stone. Did the people like Solomon after that? Probably not. They gave him a chance, sure, because he was David's son. But eventually, they completely rejected him. When his son said, "If you thought my dad was bad, wait till you meet me." Don't lay heavy burdens on those, for those are the hypocrites. Hypocrites only care about being seen. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries, that's like these little things in their beards and their hair, and their fingers long, for they desire what to be known, not to do God's will. They care about their special seats, dressing up, only doing what people see in the public marketplaces or in the public streets. But what is that? That's pride. That is the opposite who God tells us to be, because pride puffs up, but love builds up. Who's it puffing up? Not God, not the people around them. So guess yourself, but it's not really helping you other than to get you the attention that you're already seeking. Certainly something that people struggle with. Hypocrites fail to save others. Fail to save others. We can't save anybody. Only God can save everyone. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying they fail to save others because they distort the law. They distort the law and how it would help them. Not that they would have been saved by the law anyway, but they teach him a contrary gospel. Then they say, "You have to follow this." But what happens if you follow this? You're going to hell. At least, but you think you're going to heaven. But because you think one way and do another, it's not going to help you. And they said, so instead, teach them the right way, so that they might be saved. Not by what you did, but what God has done through you. Hypocrites seem to use their position for personal gain, for the pretense of long prayers and devouring widows' houses. They do these things. Christians have distorted the church for money, for wealth, for power, for sexual needs. They abuse their positions, and they are a detriment to the future of all Christianity because they engage in these things. Hypocrites make people worse than themselves. I think this is probably the worst of them. Not that they're leading them hell, but they're continuing to perpetuate the lie. They pass ungodly judgment, teach wisdom of the world, all because they don't know God. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across land and sea to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much as a child of hell as yourself. Our job as Christians is to pass on the knowledge to the next generation, that they can pass on to the generation, and that they can pass on to the generation. And when we make mistakes, our goal is not to replicate those mistakes, but instead help them learn from them. Teach correctly the next generation. They claim what God hasn't. They say, swear by this or do this. You don't need to be baptized. It's not necessary. It's only mentioned in the Bible a dozen times, so that's not enough, is it? You could instead say the sinner's prayer. Show me where the sinner's prayer is in the Bible. It's not there. You can get work. You can get salvation by your works. You don't have to change. None of this is biblical. All of this is just pretending to be something that God tells you you shouldn't do. You know what's scary about a hypocrite? Hypocrites are often right. See, a lot of the problem with the Pharisees wasn't so much that they were wrong in their teaching, because a lot of them were probably teaching the law correctly. The problem with the hypocrites was they were not practicing the law. And so by their actions, they were saying, look, I may tell you one thing, but I don't have to do it. This does not apply to me because I don't see it as important. That's scary. So when we look at our shortcomings, we look at ourselves and we say, I am a Christian, but I am not going to do the things God asked me to do. Then what kind of Christian are we? And what kind of Christian are we making the next generation? God has very high expectations of us. And certainly we know God's not going to give us anything that we handle. So anything that God tells us to do is certainly within our capacity to do it. Yes, it may seem hard, but that doesn't mean it's impossible. Because one thing I've learned in my 39 years of life, and I'm sure many of you would agree with me, is hard things are often worth it. You care more about the things you put more effort into. You treat them with respect. You value them. In Christianity, it could be one of the hardest things we do, but every single thing about it is worth it. So we can pretend and reject what God has given us. We can continue to wear that mask. Or we can understand who we are, how much we need Him, submit ourselves to Him by denying our nature and taking up our cross and following Him. People are going to ruin that. I get a little frustrated by this statement that I don't go to churches because of hypocrites. This logic almost never applies anywhere else. Oh, well, there are bad people at the Chiefs game. I guess I'm not going to go to the Chiefs game. There are opponents at the Chiefs game. They're rooting for the Eagles. Yeah, the Eagles. Oh, those people are hypocrites. Don't they know that we need to cheer on Mahomes? That doesn't apply. And even if you felt that way about other people, Christianity is largely about your relationship with God. Let nothing get in the way of your relationship with God. Look at the people that God chose to be His most intimate followers. They were far from perfect. 7 of the 12, we know, engaged in hypocritical practices following Jesus. And I'm willing to bet the 5 that we don't know about did the exact same thing. Everybody has flaws. But don't let that ruin your relationship with Him. So I ask a few more things in wrapping up this lesson. Do you find yourself caring about the things of this world? Do you find yourself seeking glory and honor? Do you find yourself turning others off to Christianity? Or do you find yourself preaching a gospel? And if you do, I'm here to tell you that that's not what God expects from you. Faith, love, repentance, God wants these things from us. And He expects us to go in the world and teach His message in a way that it will be received. Yes, you are human. Yes, you are flawed. But God can and will and does change the hearts of men. And He has been doing it for thousands of years. And He will continue to do it without you. But He still wants you to be a part of it by denying yourself and seeking His glory. If that's something we can help you with today, if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as Tim leads us in song.